Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we were introduced to a Pasuk. The Pasuk was found in a Tanaic source, in a Braisa, that described an encounter, a meeting that Rabbi Eliezer had with a min, with a heretic. And in that discussion, the heretic offered an explanation to the Pasuk, a Pasuk in Micha, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Zayin, that found favor in the eyes of Rabbi Eliezer. And as a result of that, he experienced a traumatic experience that was featured in that particular brisa. Being that we heard the heretic's explanation of the pasuk, the Gemara here on Daf Yud Zayin opens up with a question: what do the Rabbanan do with that pasuk? What did they learn from that pasuk? So, if you notice the end of the frame section on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, right after that, the line after that has a squiggle underlined expression or word, Verabonan. Verabonan, hai me esnan zona, mai darshi bay. You'll notice into the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text an arrow. This is pointing to the line in which the Pasuk appeared in the source. So the Gemara wants to know that Pasuk, what do the Rabbonan learn from it? The Rabbonan, namely, as opposed to the heretic. The answer is, Kidda Rav Chisda. They learn Rav Chisda's teaching. The Amar Rav Chisda, Kol zoyna sheniskeres lebesoif hi socheres. Any harlot that allows herself to be hired out, in other words, she seems to be desirous to the public, in the end, she will be despised, and she will have to seek out those to hire her. Shenemar uvesitech esnan veesnan lo nitan loch vatehi vehefech. Upliga de Rav Chisda. That which Rav Chisda said, that the pasuk of Harchek Me'olel Darkecha, and Rav Chisda said that one shall stay away from the heretics and stay away from immorality. Specifically the case of the Zona, to stay away from the door of the Zona, of the harlot. Rav Chisda said it's for a distance of 4 amos. And Rav Chisda said that this was alluded to in the... He was explaining that as that which was alluded to in the Pasuk. This is at odds with Rabbi Pedos's approach to the issue of distancing from immorality. The Omar Rabbi Pedos, Loi Osra Torah, Ela Krevo Shel Gilui Aroyos Bilvad. That when you find in Psukim the term Krevo or Lo Sikrav, that's a reference to the actual act of immorality itself. In other words, Rabbi Pedos says that when this word appears in the context of relations of immorality, it doesn't refer to distancing, but it's a code word, or it's a word that has to be translated as the actual act of intimacy itself. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Ish ish el kol she'er besoro loy sikrivu legalois erva. And as you can see in this pasuk, it's saying one shall not draw unto the forbidden relation, and the draw unto in the sense of actual act. But the concept of keeping a distance, we'll call it like a fence in the law, is not alluded to in the Pasuk. Tosfos points out that Rabbi Pedos doesn't disagree with the need for keeping a distance, a physical distance, from immoral experiences. In other words, he will acknowledge that there's a need for a fence, but it would be of a purely rabbinic nature, and not something that the Pasuk alludes to. Whereas Rav Chisda was willing to accept the fact that the Pasuk itself will make an allusion to this idea of keeping a physical distance from immorality. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice the double underline used. That's to highlight Ula's name in view of what the Gemara is going to point out, that Ula, though he teaches one thing, he seems to be inconsistent with that very same teaching. Ula ki have osimi beirav have menashik lehu leachde abe yodayu viamri lo abe chodayu. When Ula would come back from his yeshiva, from his place of Torah learning, he would kiss his sister. One version is on her hands, abe yodayu. Another version is on her abe chodayu, on her chest. Upliga dide adide. Ula seems to be inconsistent with his own teaching. The Amar Ula, kreva bi'alma osur. One must stay away from forbidden relatives, even beyond the realm of an actual act of intimacy. In other words, things like kissing and hugging forbidden relatives, relatives with whom it would be forbidden to marry, including sister. One must not engage in any form of physical contact, namely kreva bi'alma. Mishum lech lech amrin nezira, schor schor lekarma lo sikrav. This is an expression, the gist of which means, stay away, don't even get near trouble. The literal translation of this phrase has to be, is a phrase whereby we see a nazir being addressed, and we tell the nazir, who is someone who's forbidden to consume the products of the grapevine, and we tell him, the schor sor is to go the long way around, go round about the vineyard, don't get near it. Namely, the nazir is warned, don't even get close to the vineyard. There is, in fact, no Torah iser in walking on the part of a nazir to walk through a vineyard. But if he walks through the vineyard, he's just tempting himself. He's tempting himself with the forbidden by getting so close. So Ula, when it comes to the issue of immorality, says don't even get near it, so to speak. So how can that, and so that we see that he's acting above when he kissed his sister, which involved physical contact with a forbidden relative, he seemed to be inconsistent with his own teaching. The Tosfos points out, how could that possibly be? How was he able to do that? How could it be justified when he teaches that one must exercise restraint? So Tosfos, based on a Gemara in Ksubas, Daf Yud Zayin, interestingly, this is also Daf Yud Zayin, but the Gemara in Ksubas features a story of a Rav dancing with a bride on his shoulders. The students there asked him, well, can we do the same thing? So he didn't answer them, no, it's forbidden. He simply said to them that if she appears to you as she does to me, like a beam of wood on my shoulders, then you too could do the same thing. In other words, he had so neutralized his feelings of temptation that it was for him no problem, but for the general public it would be a problem, because they haven't reached that level of self-control. Same thing with Ula. He apparently had reached such a level of self-control that he had no feeling of temptation or anything of that nature when it came to what he did over here. The Gemara continues. with a pasuk, La'aluka shtei bonois hav. My hav. So as we go on in the Gemara, we encounter a new geometric form. We see a diamond with a darkened in tip. This is explained on the side, on the Mivneh, Shtei Lishinos Mi Tzo'ek. The Pasuk describes someone or something screaming out, give, give. And we'll see two versions as to who is screaming this out. My hav. Hav means to give. So what is this referring to? Omar mar ukvo, koil shtei bonois shetsoyakois migehenem ve'oimrois ba'oilam hazeh havei. It's the voice of two daughters, so to speak, two women, but it's an analogy to something that we'll see briefly, that are screaming from purgatory out of great pain that they're experiencing there. These are those that in this world say, give, give, umai ninhu, and who are they? Minus v'horoshus, heresy and the government. Heresy screams in Olam Hazeh, bring gifts to idols. And the government screams out in Olam Hazeh, bring taxes and other types of gifts to the government. Iko di Amri, Omar Rav Chisda, another version, and in our markings you'll find that we squiggle underline words expressing an alternative or a second lashon or second opinion. In this case, the Iko di Amri is one of those terms where Rav Chisda says, in the name of Mar Ukvo, and also you'll notice that in the first Lashon, Rav Chisda's name didn't appear. So in this second version, that Rav Chisda is quoting Mar Ukvo, where in the first version, Mar Ukvo appeared on his own. He says, Kol Gehenim Tzoekes. It's the voice of purgatory that's screaming out, the Oimeres Hoviu Li Shtei Bonois. It's the voice of Gehenim screaming out, bring me those that in Olam Hazeh, that in this world are saying, bring me, bring me. So that the point of difference between the two Lashonos, we've also dashed underlined that. In the first Lashon, the screamer were the Shtei Bonos, were the Minus and Rishus that were screaming in pain. According to the second Lashon, the screamer is purgatory itself, desiring those two entities to be brought to it. Kol Boeho Lo Yeshuvun Velo Yasigu Orchois Chayim. The Pasuk is referring to all those that practice heresy and turn to idolatry will not seek life. So the Pasuk has two phrases, and it says Lo Yeshuvun, shall not come back, and it says, and will not achieve, Lo Yasigu. V'chimei achar shelo shavu, heichon yasigu. If you're telling me they're not going to come back, then from where would you think that they would achieve? That they would achieve or acquire something if they're not coming back in the first place? Hochi ko'omar, ve'im yoshuvu, if those that practiced heresy try to come back into the fold, to observing authentic Judaism, lo yasigu orchos chayim, they won't make it. L'meimra d'chol ha'purish miminus mayis, are you suggesting that anyone who tries to separate himself from heresy will die? In other words, even if they attempt to do penitence, they won't be successful and end up dying. Is that so? So in this particular Gemara, we're going to see, once again, we featured with a geometric form, the house marking, two Lashonos on this topic. So the Gemara now asks, is that really so, that one who tries to do penitence from heresy will die? There was a woman who once approached Rav Chisda, the Omrele, and she told him, Kala Sheba Kalois, the least of my offenses, Osto Bino HaKoton Mitno HaGodo, that she produced her young son, her younger son, from relations that she conducted, intimacy that she conducted with her older son, which is a case of Mamzerus. The Omar Lo Rav Chisda, Torchu Lo Bezavdisa, and Rav Chisda announced that they ought to prepare her shrouds. In other words, Rav Chisda anticipated that she is going to die. Velo Mesa, and she did not die. Notice we've dashed, underlined this expression. This is the main point over here. Now, the Gemara observes that Midika Omra, Kala Sheba Kalis, Osta, etc., that she said her lightest offense was the immoral behavior, Michlal de Minus Nami Havyabo. Then we can assume that she was also engaged in heresy. Let's refer to that as at least the same, if not more serious, offense. So we see this woman who was apparently, by the fact that she came to Rav Chisda, she was trying to do tshuva, and she was coming back into the fold from heresy. And we see that she did not die. With our markings, by the way, we've dashed, underlined, velo mesa, and minus. This serves as a question on that which we said just before this question started, that it said, v'im yashuvu, if someone tries, and it was also dashed, underlined, that if someone tries to come back from minus, lo yasigu orchus chaim, that they won't achieve life, in other words, that they will die. The Gemara answers, hahu, the case involving the woman who we saw did not die, the lo hodra bo shapir, lo mishum hofi lo mesa. She was not engaged in a full-fledged penitence. And as a result of that, she didn't die. But someone who would have, let's say, descended into such a deep conviction to heresy, the Gemara is claiming that in order to break away from that deep-seated conviction and attempt to do a full act of penitence, it would create such a jolt on them that they would die. Iko diamri mi minus in me averolo, a second version of the approach to that which was said above on the second wide line of the Gemara. The Gemara had said that if someone tries to do penitence from heresy, they won't live. So the second Lashon of Gemara is saying, are you suggesting that that's the case from heresy and not from immorality? The Gemara here is citing the same case of the woman who was involved with immorality. The Omale Rav Chisda Zavidu Lazavdasa, and Rav Chisda said, prepare her shrouds, Umesa, and she died. What do we see according to this version? Of course, you could see one of the differences is that she did die in this story, and we know for a fact that that woman was involved with immorality, and we also are assuming here that she was doing penitence. So we see that the act of penitence from having engaged in a life of immorality also leads to death. So why was it claimed by the Gemara that only from penitence does only the return from heresy, in other words, the penitence from heresy, that that's what leads to death. When we see from this story, according to the second version, that penitence from immorality also leads to death. The Gemara answers, "Midikaomro kala shebakalis." From the fact that that woman who had produced a second son from relations with her first son, and she described that as her least of offenses, michlal de minus nami havyabo, it must be that she was also engaged in heresy. And it's because of her tshuva from heresy that she in fact died, and not because of her tshuva, her penitence from the immorality. The Gemara asks, though, once again, ume avero lo? And from an act of from involvement with immorality, avero, even though technically speaking means an offense, a sin, but it's taken to mean throughout the Shas immorality. So we're asking here, and from immorality, is it so that one does not die when trying to do tshuva? You can see from our markings that we have a very long Tanaic source, and we've also added a long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, indicating that this entire source is part of the question. If you skip to the section right after the framed part, you'll see it says v'ha'hocha be'avero have umis. The framed source describes someone involved with immorality and eventually, when trying to do tshuva, died. Taking it from the beginning of the source now, v'hotanya, is it not taught the following? Omru olav al Rabbi Eliezer ben Durdaya. It is said about this man, we've squiggled underlined the resh of Rebbe, which indicates a rabbinic figure, in order to draw your attention that we're talking about someone that we'll discover later on why he was referred to as a Rav. So it's important to note at the outset that technically speaking, at this point in the story, before we know anything about him, we might have referred to him as Eliezer ben Durdaya, a commoner. Anyway, it describes this person as Shaloihi Niach Zoina Achas Ba'ilam Shalobalea. There was not a single harlot in the world that he did not have conduct intimacy with. Pam Achas Shomash Yesh Zoina Achas Bikroche Hayom. He once heard about a harlot, a zona, Bikrocheyam, in some city overseas, faraway town. She used to charge an exorbitant rate for her services, a kiss, a pouch of dinarim, of coins. Notal kiss dinarim, he took a pouch of this currency, the holach, the ovar oleho, shivo nehorois, and he crossed seven rivers in order to get to her. Bishas hergul dovar hificho. When they were in the midst of their intimacy, their relations, she passed wind, Omra, and she announced, "Kashem shahaficha zu eino choyzeres limkoimo," just like the wind that emanates from my body doesn't go back at all, doesn't go back in. Kach Elozer ben Durdaya ein mekablin oisoi b'tshuva. So too, someone like yourself, who's dedicated himself to immorality, will not ever be received in return if he tries to do penitence. Well, he heard that from none less than the harlot herself. That apparently jolted him. Holach v'yosha ben shnei horim ugvoz. He went and sat between two mountains and two hills. Omar, and we now see a triangle with a colored in tip. This is explained in the outside margin of the Nosei Mivneh. Rabbi Elozer ben Durdaya poina l'sidra shel gormim lazor lo b'tfilo l'shem tshuva miznus. He turns to a number of different sources in order to assist him in his attempts to do tshuva, penitence. So he finds himself between these two mountains and hills, and he says, horum uvois, Bakshu alai rachamim, O mountains and hills, pray for me, seek out mercy for me. Omru lo, Ad she'onu mevakshim alecha, until we pray for you, nevakish al etzmenu, we have to pray for ourselves. Shenema ki ha'horum yamushu v'agvoz temotena. This pasuk describes the elimination, the destruction of mountains and hills. So in order for us to experience self-preservation, we have to pray for ourselves. Tosfos at the very bottom points out, it's not as if the mountains themselves answered him. Rather, he was going back and forth with himself. He said in his heart, that they could offer such an answer. In other words, though I'm turning to them, they could respond to me thusly. Inami, another pshat Tosfos offers, is Sar Shehoram HaYomeshiv Kain, that the ministering angel in charge of the mountains, in fact, answered him or rebuffed him in his request. Well, we continue in the Gemara, in the Tanaic source, Omar. So Elozer ben Urdaya says, Shomayim Voretz Bakshu Alai Rachamim. He turns to the heavens and to the earth to pray for him. Omru, and they responded, Ashanu mevakshim alecho nevakish al atzmenu. Until we pray for you, we've got to pray for ourselves. Shenema ki shamayim ke'oshen imluchu v'horetz kebeket tivaleh. Another pasuk indicating that they are also subject to being destroyed. Omar chamol avonabakshu alai rachamim. He turns to the sun and moon, pray for me. Omrulo, they said the same thing. Achanu mevakshim alecho nevakish al atzmenu shenema v'chofro halavona uvoisha hachamo. Pasuk indicating the dimming, so to speak, of the moon and the sun. Omar koychavu mazolois vakshu alai rachamim. He turns to the stars and different mazolos and says, pray for me. The mazolos sometimes translated as the different constellations or those heavenly forces that govern certain behavior in the normal course of events. And he says, pray for me. Omru loi ad she'onu mevakshim alecho nevakish al atzmenu. The same response as we saw above. Shinemar v'nimoku kol tzva shamayim. Also, this pasuk also referring to the destruction of all of the different heavenly forces. Omar, so he came to the conclusion, Ein hadover tolui elobi, that this matter is dependent on no one other than me. Niach roishoy ben birkov, v'go b'vchia, ad shiotsa nishmoso. He put his head between his knees and cried out, and until his soul departed him, until he died. Yotzasa Basko Viomra Rebbe Elozer ben Durdaya Mezuman Chayel Oil Haba. A heavenly voice came forth and announced that Elozer ben Durdaya, and here he referred to him as Rebbe Elozer ben Durdaya, is summoned to the world to come, and to a good portion in the world to come. Well, in this story, we see Avera Havi Umis. He was involved with immorality, and he died. In other words, we see that one who attempts to do tshuva from a state of immorality doesn't make it. So, why was it implied by the that which we learned above that it's only tshuva from minus that results in death? The Gemara answers. Hosam Nami, the case of Elozer ben Durdaya, also is Kevan to Ovik Botuva, since he was so immersed in the immorality, he wasn't just a local practitioner of the trade, so to speak. He was willing to travel far away in order to achieve his satisfaction. That indicates that this man was Ovik Batuva, was very, very attached to it, very much immersed in it, and therefore Keminus Damyo, it's viewed as on the same level of depravity as heresy. So once again, when we speak about dying as a result of attempting to do penitence, it would have to be something very extreme like heresy. Bocha Rebbe v'Omar, Yesh Koina Ilomu B'Kama Shonim, Rebbe cried out and said, there are those that acquire their portion in the world to come through the efforts of many years, and there are those that in their one special hour, so to speak, acquire their portion. The Amar Rebbe, lo dayon le balei tshuva shemekablen osan, it's not enough that the balei tshuva are received. Hela shekurin oisan Rebbe, they are not only received in their tshuva, but they also gain the title of Rebbe, and that we saw in the story just above. We also add a little asterisk to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara in order to make it easier to find where that was presented. Rabbi Chanina of Rabbi Yonason, Havu Koazli Beurcha, they were going on the road, Motulano Tre Shvili, they came to a fork in the roads to a point that there are two paths. Chad Potsi Apischa Davidus Kechavim, one path opened up into a place of idol worship, V'chad potzi apischa de'bei zonos, and the other path opened up into a house of ill repute, of harlotry. The word potzi, Rashi says, posuach l'pesach avizkavim. It could very well be that it's not as if it was a dead end road into these places, but it was a road that would pass by these locations. So each road has a problematic location on each one respectively. So the issue came up of which road should we take. So Omar lechad lechavrei, one said to the other, Nezel apischa davidus lechoven, let's go on the road that passes by the temple of idol worship, the nochis yitzrei, the evil inclination that used to attract people to idolatry has been, nochis means slaughtered. That's a reference to a story featured in Masechet Sanhedrin where the Chachomim prayed for that particular desire to be arrested. And the Gemara says that they were successful. Hence, since that event that's featured in Masechet Sanhedrin, since that event, there isn't any more an alluring or a lust for idolatry. There still is, of course, a penalty in engaging in it, but if one were to walk by a temple, he wouldn't feel a sense of alluring to go in and practice the idolatry. Hence, that would be the safer bet. Amar le'idoch, the other one said, Nezel apischa de bei zoinois, let us go by the house of ill repute, v'nichbe liyitzrin unakabel agra, and there the lust and the desire still exists, and by walking by that we will have a chance to overcome our lustful attraction, and by that action or energy we will warrant receiving reward. Kimotu Hasam, they apparently as the story goes, they took that road, and they arrived where the house of ill repute was, Chazinu Lizonos, they saw the harlots, Iskanu Mikomayu, and the harlots went away. They went in. Went into their house as the rabbis were approaching. Amale mino loha. So the other one said, "How do you know that you could rely on yourself to go on this road and not be fear struck that you would have fallen prey to your evil inclination?" Amale. So he says, "There's a pasuk, mezima tishmor olecha." Tevuna tinserecha. From that pasuk, I knew that we would be successful. Omer le rabbonon l'rova, my mezima. What does that word mean when reading this pasuk? Ilema Torah. If you think it means that If you think it means Torah, in other words, you would read the pasuk by saying Mezima Tishmor Lecha, that Torah Tishmor will guard over you and not allow you to fall prey to the evil inclination. If that be the case, then let's go over this again. Ilema Torah, if you think that the word Mezima is a reference to Torah, Dichtiv Bo Zima, the word Zima appears in the Torah itself, Umetargaminon Atzas Chatoin, and in, where the word Zima appears, the Targum version of it, the translation that the Targum offers is Atzas Chatoyin, because the word appears in the context of the Torah dealing with immorality. So it says it's the counsel of sin. So that we see the word Zima is associated with the word counsel, Uksiv, and it says, referring to the Torah, Hifli Eitza Higdil Tushia, that it's a wondrous source of counsel, so that the Gemara is trying to show, in other words, this is an attempt to show that Mezima might refer to Torah, Ihachi, but if it were referring to Torah itself, Zima Mibayale, it should have said Zima Tishmor Alecha, but what does it in fact say? It spells that word with a mem, Mizima. If it was referring to the Torah will watch you, will protect you, it should have said Zima, if you assume that Zima is a reference to the Torah. So the Gemara says, no, we have a more accurate pshat. Hachi ka'omar, mezima, the word mezima, means midvar zima, from an act of, from a forbidden act, midvar zima, from a forbidden act, in this case immorality, Tishmor Alecha Torah Tinsarecha, the Torah will watch over you from committing the forbidden act. So that when you go back to the original pasuk, which said Mezima Tishmor, means from Zima, Tishmor Alecha, what will watch you? Tavuna Tinsarecha, Tavuna being in this case a reference to the Torah, which is a source of knowledge. It will, Tinsarecha, it will watch over you. Rashi points out that he was able to make such a calculation that we'll walk by there, the walk by the house of ill repute and be protected, even though it's a source of temptation to commit the forbidden. The reason for that is because the Torah works to protect them if they are engaged in the study of Torah at that moment. It's not enough for one to rely on the fact that he happened to have learned Torah in the past and rely on that. And under such circumstances, it would be quite forbidden to put oneself in a position of temptation. However, if one knows, and this is as far as the Gemara is concerned, they knew that they weren't just people who had learned Torah, but they were engaged in a Torah discussion while they were on the road. So with that power of protection, they were confident that they would be able to overcome their Yetzer Hara, their evil inclination. Tonu Rabbonon. We have a Tanaic source that you can see is framed off, and it features two rabbinic figures. Kishenifesu Rabbi Elazar ben Pirata v'Rabbi Chanino ben Tradion. When these two rabbis were arrested by the government, Amalei Rabbi Elazar ben Pirata v'Rabbi Chanino ben Tradion. Rabbi Elazar says to Rabbi Chanino, Ashrecha shenepasta al davar echad. Fortunate are you that have been arrested on one count. Oy li shenepasti al chamisha dvarim. Woe unto me that I've been arrested on five counts. You are the fortunate one that even though you have been arrested on five counts, you will be saved. Woe unto me that though I've been arrested on one count, I will not survive. She'at asakta b'teruk mishasodim v'ani lo asakti ela b'teruk b'vad. You will be saved because you have engaged in the practice of not only Torah learning and Torah study, but you have also practiced acts of good kindness. I, though, have not been involved with anything other than Torah alone. At this point in the Gemara, we see a bracketed section. The purpose of these brackets are to maintain a certain sense of continuity with regard to the story involving the rabbi. So if you skip the bracketed section, you will see a double underlined expression, Asyuhu l'Rebbe Elozer ben Prota, and this double underline is to draw your attention to the next double underline, which is found in the lower part of the page. These expressions, Asyu, means they brought him in. So the first one is they brought in Rebbe Elozer ben Prota, and later on we'll see how they bring in for questioning Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. That having been said, the Gemara now within the brackets involves itself with this issue of acting, of practicing, in addition to Torah, Gemilas Chasodim. And as we just saw in the source, the lack of practice of Gemilas Chasodim, namely Torah learning alone, presents a problem. Uchrav Huna. We're now going to read the Gemara with the brackets straight. It says Uchir Rav Huna, and in accordance with Rav Huna's teaching, the Amar Rav Huna, Kol Oisik B'Torah Bilvad, anyone who involves himself with Torah study alone, Doime Kami She'ein Loi Elaka. He gives the impression as if he has no God. The reference to no God, Rashi says, no God to protect him. Shenemar v'yomim rabim Yisrael l'loy elokei emes u'l'loy koyein moire u'l'loy Torah. My l'loy elokei emes. What is meant by that? Shekol ha'oisek b'tura b'lvad d'yme k'mi she'ein loy eloika. It's coming to tell me that anyone who practices Torah study alone and doesn't live out its teachings, particularly the requirement to practice chesed, practice acts of kindness, he is termed as someone who has no God. The Gemara asks regarding Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, is that really so that he didn't practice chesed? We see here a triangle that indicates some type of repetitious idea or series. On the side, we see a mivne heading with a triangle feature. Two questions challenging that idea that Rabbi Chanina did not practice chesed. Let's see. We have the following source. Rabbi Elozer ben Yaakov Omer, Lo yitein odo ma'oisav la'arniki shel tzedaka. A person should not give money to a charity fund. Ela im kein memuno olav talmud chochem k'Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. Unless the one who's appointed to be in charge of the funds is a Torah scholar, the likes of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. So, since we see that Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion is associated with a community charity, it must be that he was involved with that. The Gemara says, from this source, you don't see that. All the source is saying is that he was a very trustworthy individual. So he's cited as an example of someone you could rely upon. However, as a practitioner of charity, one does not see that in this source. The Gemara asks, but we see that he did practice tzedakah. For Hatanya, Omar Lo, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion said, and we'll see this featured in a source on Daf Yud Ches. He said to Rabbi Yossi, he says, Mois shel Purim nischalfuli b'mois shel tzedakah. There was some Purim monies that got mixed up with charity funds. V'chilakdim laniyim. and I distributed the funds, even though they were my own funds, I distributed them to the poor, and I didn't seek out compensation for my personal funds from the community charity. So we see that he was willing to part with his own money for the benefit of the poor. So the Gemara says, Me'ved Ovad, he did practice tztoka and chesed, however, kidebo'i lei lo ovad, but not as much as would have been fit for him to do. In other words, he did something less than the maximum amount of tztoka and chesed. So as a result of that, he felt that he would not be saved, that he did not have enough merit to warrant his salvation. The story goes on with the Rabbonan, As Yuhu L'Rebbe Elozer Ben Proto. The authorities brought him in, Omru, and with the markings we will see the counts on which he was brought in are highlighted. You can see on the side where we have our Mivneh heading, five, the diamond is featured, five alilois shetanu neged Rabbi Elozer ben Proto, five charges that they leveled against Rabbi Elozer ben Proto. If you skim ahead, you can count the diamonds up, you will see five of them. Omru, my time otonis. They asked him, why are you involved with Torah study? And of course, we're dealing with a historical period where the governing authorities had banned these things, banned Torah study. So they asked him, why were you doing that? Umay taimo, and they asked him, Gonavta, why are you a thief? Omar lahu, Rabbi Elozer answered them, E saifa lo safra, if I live by the sword, namely, if I'm a thief, then I'm not a scholar. Vi safra, if I'm a scholar, then lo saifa, then I'm not living by the sword. Umidaholesa honami lesa, and by the fact that I'm not this, in other words, I'm not a thief, I'm also not involved with Torah study. Umay taima koru loch rabbi, so then why is it that they call you rabbi? So he answers, Rabon shel tarsayim ani, I'm a master weaver. In other words, the term Rebbe could be used for something other than a Torah figure. Well, they said, well, if you're a master weaver, then let's see, well, we're going to put you to the test. Aisulei tre kiburi. They brought to him two kiburi, two spools of thread. In weaving, there are two primary different thicknesses of thread. There's sometimes they're termed the weep and the wharf, but there's one that goes vertically and one that goes horizontally. So they brought two of these spools, and as we mentioned, one type is thicker than the other. Omrulei, they put him to the test and asked him, Hey de shasya, the hey de arvo, which one is the shti, and which one is the orev? Israchish le nisa. Now, from the Gemara, it appears that he was not knowledgeable in the technicalities of weaving. So a miracle happened. Asya ziburisa, a nikeva, a female. This is a type of insect, a flying insect. Sometimes translated as a bee, but we won't. We will simply cite it as a ziburisa. The female version of it came. Osiva al deshasya. It landed on the shti. In the weaving process, the orev is cast back and forth on the loom into the rows of shti thread. So the shti thread is said to be a receiver of, just like a female. With regard to male-female relations, the female is the receiver of. So the female insect settled on the shti thread. The asya zibura, the male version of this insect, came, the yosiv al-da'arva, settled on the orev. The orev is the thread that, as we mentioned before, is cast back and forth, creating a weaving phenomenon. It's cast back and forth into or between the shti threads that are set up on the loom. So the orev enters, so to speak, the realm of the shti. So the male insect that's settled on the orev indicated to him that this is the thread that enters the shti, hence it's the orev. Omalahu, so when he noticed these two insects and their respective genders, he said, Hi the shtiya, the hi the arva. This is the shti one, that is the one that receives, and the other one is the orev, the thread that enters. Omalay, umay taima osis lo osis lebe avidon. Why didn't you come to Bei Avidon? Rashi explains, Bei Avidon, it's some kind of house in which they would eat and drink in honor of their idol. Umezablin zibul of iskhovim, they would offer gifts to the idol. Umefakhan al iskel, leida mahit zricha, umesnadim, and they would assemble in this idol idolatrous house in order to know what the idol's needs were. So they challenged him, why did you not come and participate in the Bei Avidon? Omar lehu, zoken hoyisi, I am old. Umisyore she'ani shemo tirmisuni baraglechem. I'm afraid that as an old man and the crowds come, that tirmisuni, that you would trample me with your feet. Omru, they said, the authority said back to him, they said to Rabbi Elazar ben Prota, V'yado idno kama savi yisramas, and until now, how many old people have been trampled? In other words, your claim is a non-claim, no one was ever trampled. Yisrach ishnisa ahu yoma irmis chad saba, and a miracle happened, and on that very day, it happened that an old man was trampled, giving grounds for his own worries. Umay taimo, they asked him, why is it koshatkis avdoch lecherus? Why is it that you freed your slave? The halachis governing the freeing of slaves is something found in the Torah. Rashi points out, avdoch lecherus vehein gozru al kach lefishu das yudis. They banned the option of sending avodim free. So they asked him, why did you violate our edict? Omar lehu, lo hayud varme olam. I never set any slave free. Kom chad minayu la sude bay. One of them, one of these government officials, was about to rise and testify against him. Also leo, idmile kechad mechshuvi de machusa. The prophet Elio appeared as one, he appeared in disguise as a minister, as a governmental minister. Omale Elio turns to this guy who was about to testify against him and says, "Midisrachishle nisa bekulhu, don't you see that this man has been the recipient of numerous miracles? At after each charge, he was able to extricate himself. Behonami Yisrachishle nisa." You should realize that at this point, another nace is going to happen. Vahu gavra bishuse hu deka achvi. And this man, referring to the fellow about to testify, I will expose your evil. Rashi says bishuse hu deka achvi rishacha tir'eh v'todia sherosha ata. The who yinotzel al nes, you will be exposed as an evil man. Velo ashkech bay, so this fellow didn't take Elio's warning seriously. Kom lemeimar lehu, he got up with the intent of testifying. It just so happens at that moment, haviksiva igrisad havikosiv mechshivet emalchus lishtur lebe kesar. There was a letter that the government officials needed to send to the emperor, the shadrua al yodei dahu gavra, and they said, "Hey, you come here. You gotta." This guy that was about to get up to testify said, "You gotta come and deliver this letter to the emperor." So they, by their request, he was sidetracked, if you will, and removed from the scene. Oselio paske arba mea parsi ozavolo osa. Elio came and threw this guy 400 parsa away in a great distance, and so in order that he shall not return. And that's what happened. He cast him away and he did not return. Asyuhu, the Rabbi Chanina ben Shradion, they brought in now Rabbi Chanina. Amulei amai ko askis b'iraisa. Why have you been involved with Torah study? Amalahu, he answered them, ka'asher tzivani Hashem Elokai, because thusly my God commanded me. They heard that, and that arose their ire. Miyad gozru, they immediately ruled Olov l'sreifa, that he is condemned to being burnt. V'al ishtoi l'hariga, and his wife to be executed. V'al bito l'sheiv b'kuba shel zaynis, and his daughter is to be sentenced to be in a house of ill repute. At this point, the Gemara goes over each sentence and gives the reason why these things befell him and his family. You can see that we've dashed, underlined Olov l'sreifa and called that Aleph. And as we go on to Daf Yud Ches Omed Aleph, one will notice a few lines from the top, a dashed, underlined Beis, where it says V'al Ishto L'Hariga, and a Gimel Dalbito Leishev B'kubah Shel Zonos. So we will, in the context of our shiur, just begin the first one. The next two will be left for the following shiur. So the first one is Olov l'sreifa. He was condemned to being burnt. Shehoyahoyge es Hashem b'os Yosef. He used to pronounce the ineffable name of God, and the practice of being Hoyge es Hashem b'os Yosef is considered a very severe offense. The Gemara asks, well, how could he possibly do that? V'hechi ovid hachi. How could he possibly do that? The Hotanan, the source says, Elu Shemem Chelukulam Haba. These are those that have no portion in the world to come. Ha'oimer Ein Torah Min HaShamayim. One who says Torah doesn't have a heavenly source. The Ein Trias Hamesim Min HaTorah. And that there's no allusion to the revival of the dead in the Torah. Abba Shol Omer, and this is what's important for us, Af Ha'oige Es Hashem Bos Yosef. So too, one who pronounces the ineffable name by its letters. So how could he do that? It's something well known through which one can lose their portion in the world to come. So the Gemara answers, Lehislamed Ovad. He did it for the purpose of teaching. Kidesanya, as the source says, Lo Silamed Lasois, that one is not allowed to learn certain things like witchcraft and other types of things that are forbidden in order to practice them. Aval ato lomed lahovin ulahoros. But you can study those things that are otherwise forbidden to practice for the purposes of understanding and for teaching. Well, if that be the case, elamai time anish, if he was doing something that we can legitimatize, so then why was he punished? Mishum hoiges Hashem befarhesya dahave. Because he did it in public, and that was something that was in poor taste, if you will, and as a result of that, he was sentenced to Sreifa. Rashi at the very top points out, when it comes to the dealings of Hashem with the righteous, he deals with them in a non-lenient fashion. That's what he's medactic with them. He judges them with under a microscope, so to speak. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.